How do investors in Spain know if it's time to react?
People clearly aren't terror-stricken yet.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning.
Hola. Welcome to Hola Bank. Hola Bank is CaixaBank's new scheme to welcome the large numbers of people who come here and make them feel at home.
That's an ad for Barcelona-based CaixaBank, which plunged 7% after investors said adios to its shares. As the fallout from the Catalan referendum continues, I asked Russ Mould, investment director at AJ Bell, when investors might start to panic.
They've been used to, you know, very low bond yields over the past few years, helped by the European Central Bank doing everything it can to keep borrowing costs low, to give the Spanish economy a chance to get back onto its feet after the global financial crisis. So these are still low levels, but yes, political uncertainty nearly always causes friction in financial markets.
From an investor's point of view then, what signal would say to them, okay, now it's really time to get worried?
Well, I think in the very short term, it will clearly be what the Catalan president has to say, whether he declares independence. After that, people were looking towards the European Central Bank. Does it impact what Senior Draghi is looking to do in terms of European Central Bank monetary policy? And in the very long run, certainly if you're looking at individual companies, it's their cash flow and their profits that ultimately dictate the valuation of their shares. So in the short term, it's politics. In the long run, it's always cash flow that counts. But clearly right now, the noise is all going to be about politics.
AJ Bell, Investment Director Russ Mould. Let's do the numbers. Spain's IBEX continues its rollercoaster ride, now up 0.7% after yesterday's frenzied sell-off. China's Hang Seng closed up 206 points, or 0.73%, and we'll be talking about the country's appetite for debt later. Now, India was the world's fastest growing economy back in 2016, but with growth now at its lowest rate in 3 years, there's been a lot of soul searching. The BBC's Davina Gupta explains what's on the minds of ministers and business leaders at the World Economic Forum in Delhi.
The theme of this year's summit was supposed to be finding Indian solutions to global challenges, but there has been more focus on a year of sweeping reforms, which has led to a slowdown in Asia's third largest economy. Last November, the Indian government banned almost 90% of banknotes in the system in order to crack down on unaccounted for wealth. Small businesses and the real estate sector were hit badly. Earlier, I spoke to Piyush Goyal, Minister for Coal and Railways.
The short discomfort in the short run is portending a long term of prosperity and far better times.
Business leaders here will be looking for reasons to be optimistic once again about India's growth. In Delhi, I'm the BBC's Davina Gupta for Marketplace.
The World Bank warned yesterday that China's growing debt could drag down the region's economic growth. But what's making public debt go up? The BBC's Ed Butler visits one answer, the city of Xiong'an, about 60 miles southwest of the capital, Beijing.
The Xiong'an New Economic Zone is intended to be a leader in green development.
Heralded by promotional films like this one, the plans for Xiong'an were first announced in April this year in order to divert economic activity away from the increasingly polluted and congested capital. The government wants to create a gigantic 100-square-kilometre economic zone here, a new clean and green second capital for China. I've stepped into the offices of one of the many local consultancies aiming to cash in. Over a cup of green tea, Chung Wei told me about the consultancy that he's set up to attract businesses into this planned megacity.
As the government news April 1st that Xiong'an will become the new economic development zone, I got really excited. I think this is a great opportunity for me.
So, how many companies have arrived already in this town?
More than 100 state-owned enterprises arrived here, and countless private companies moved here too.
Are you going to get rich as a result of all of this?
Yes, I will.
Back out on the street, I've now headed off in search of this new Xiong'an. Where exactly is it?
Wow, we just stepped out of the car and I'm looking out across a gigantic brown field. It's clearly the start of some kind of construction, but right now there's absolutely nothing here.
Some are worried, very worried. Michael Pettis is Professor of Finance at Guanghua School of Management at Peking University.
20, 30 years ago, China was hugely underinvested. China needed roads, bridges, manufacturing facilities, everything. But once you reach the limits of investment, when you continue investing, then you can generate a lot of activity. You build bridges to nowhere. When you build bridges, you create jobs, but you don't create wealth. You create debt.
Has China been building a lot of bridges to nowhere?
Yes, tons.
So, what are the implications of this for China and its growing pile of public debt? Can it be sustained? In Chong'an, I'm the BBC's Ed Butler for Marketplace.
We'll hear part two of Ed's report on Chinese debt tomorrow. Finally, the beer company Asahi is raising prices in Japan for the first time in a decade. The news prompted shares to go up more than 5% to levels last seen in 1974. A sign of a finely frothy Japanese economy? Maybe, but easy on the phone, please. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.